Welcome to the only show whose hosts can get two 22-year-old girls drunk, stoned, and in the hot tub, all without getting laid. It's the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Can you just give me one more try at that? Yeah!
All right, baby, here we are. Now we're rocking. Look at you, man.
Corey's coming at you live in 56K Mono. You ain't nothing
to me if you got nothing. This is Jet, baby.
Raw.
Woo.
Hard. Angry man. I don't know what you got that I can use anyway. A room full of furious testosterone. Bring in the leather. Bring in the funk.
All right. That's Jet, baby, from their first album and their only album.
First, last, and always.
Well, I'm going to bring it down there. Woo! How are you guys doing? This is show
59.
How are you doing there, Johnny boy?
Doing good, sir.
We'll get to Johnny in a minute. Johnny's an old friend. Some of you may recognize the voice. You're going, where is that voice from? I know it. I've heard it before.
It's a very high voice on a young man.
And so we'll get to Johnny in 1 second. But I saw Jet. By the way, this is Corey and Joel Radio, number 59.
Yes, yes.
Corey and Joel Radio Show, your number one podcast. The show that knows. I don't know what.
It pays to listen to the Corey and Joel Radio Show. I'm coming up under the break. If you're the 19th caller, we'll be giving away absolutely goddamn nothing.
All right. I'm turning your mic all the way. Oh, geez. Okay. No, you're good. No, you're good now.
Is that good now? Is that
it's right? Good now, but it was overdriving. See, there's a little red light on the board that says, like, the board's about to blow up, and it was on solidly.
We're having some audio difficulties
here. Nah, I don't think so. I think it's okay.
Is Jet the Shaking Your Hips group? Is that them?
Yeah, what was their
Cold Hard Bitch?
Jet has Cold Hard Bitch, okay. And Are You Gonna Be My Girl was their big hit.
Mm-hmm. They're the same song, really.
Get close to that microphone, Jet.
Right,
pull that whole thing.
Cozy on up to it. There you go.
Got
Johnny,
it, brother.
Welcome him to the studio.
No, let's welcome our guest. I was going to talk about Jet, but that's fine.
No,
why leave our guest his dick in the wind like that? Why would we do that to him? Let's just introduce him. His dick's not in the wind. He has his pants on.
Might be in the wind.
We're hoping for the second half, maybe, if we're lucky. Anyway. Our guest tonight, the great comedian. You heard him on show number 44, live from Club Bart. Give it up for the one and only John Tortolotti, everybody. John.
Yeah, thank you.
John was the very first comedian on that show. John, I told you this the other day, and I gave you this title, and I don't know if you ever did anything with it.
Not yet.
John is the first comedian who ever performed stand-up comedy in a live setting for a podcast.
And ate it, I believe you said.
To the best of our knowledge. If some podcast somewhere did it, we don't know.
People have played clips of stand-up on podcasts. That's been done.
Right.
People have even played live shows, but it was a specific live show for the purpose of podcasting.
Right.
With an audience there for a podcast that has ever been done.
On Woodward.
In
Ferndale.
On a Thursday night.
Right.
Yeah, but John was the first guy ever, so you are a pioneer.
Can I be Googled now?
Yeah, your name is up there. You can certainly be Googled.
Excellent.
And we can find you, and John has some fun stuff coming up we'll tell you about.
Cool.
You can go see John live in person if you want. We'll tell you where that is later. But
absolutely, a big show coming up for John.
But John's just going to hang with us tonight. We're talking about Jet. Can I tell my Jet story?
Hell yes.
Jet had the one album. They kind of were big, and then they like kind of went away to do another album. Then they came back. They opened for Oasis, and everyone was like, oh, that's going to be like a great show. So I went. Me and my girlfriend went. It was last summer. And, like, people hated them and, like, kind of booed them.
Yeah.
And it was, like, really awful.
Didn't we see them open for the Vines?
We did see them open for the Vines as well, but this was even after that. Yeah, we saw them open for the Vines. I've seen them. I also saw them open for Kings of Leon in Toronto years ago.
Back
before they were cool.
The brothers from Oasis, like, kick the shit out of each other? Don't they hate each other?
They didn't that night, but that's happened in the past.
Okay,
That's part of their...
Sold off you, dope, couldn't you? Fuck right off you! Fuck you!
Well, there's brothers in Jet as well. I don't think they beat the shit out of each other, but there are brothers in Jet. So.
You know, when
and the Black Crowes, too.
Aussies and Cockneys get together, look out. It's a barn burner.
That's it. There you go. Barn burner. Ding, ding, ding,
crikey.
Ding.
But also, I played that venue. I did that Laugh-A-Palooza show at that same venue where that show was, the Meadowbrook Music Festival. And the guy that runs it was like, yeah, don't sit on the couches after the Jet Oasis show. I go, okay. So apparently there was some groupie action going
on
there.
Probably
that
a pretty safe rule of thumb.
So anyway, that's my little Jet story.
Good
way to get the show kicked off. John Tortolotta is here.
Yes, yes.
Lots of fun stuff going on in the comedy world. We'll be talking a lot
about
stand-ups.
Never go in the green room after John Tortolotta's been back there.
Oh.
Never. Why is it?
Don't sit on the couches. I don't know.
I'm in there alone, but don't do it.
John's great. John will go up to people and say things to their face that you would never be able to say to anyone else.
Outstanding.
Like, give us some examples of that, John.
Wow. Who's the black retarded guy?
You say it, not me. How's
No. What is it? Jeff Ford. I told Jeff, if you're out there, hey, now he can't use a computer. Fuck him. Jeff.
He's on MySpace.
First, Joe, remember that young black kid at Ridley's a couple weeks ago? I was telling him I had a website, and he goes, I'd like to see. I said, next time you have some time at the community center, get a little block of time, check it out. Joel's going, no.
John, don't say that, man.
Come on, that's funny.
You have to be a little, I think sometimes you have to be a little more sensitive to the to the races, and that, you know, they don't want those jokes about they don't have computers. And
I know they don't.
They're at the community center. They might not want to hear that, John.
The problem is I don't care. See, that's the problem. That's why I'm where I am in comedy.
Really, it's not that he doesn't have a computer. He just doesn't know how to type or read.
Thank you.
We're off to a great start. We're at the 6-minute mark. And, wow.
Jeff Ford, who always kills even in a horrible room, and I told him one night the reason was because he was retarded. Because people, they embraced him. And he's really not retarded. He's a lovely young man.
He really is. He just seems retarded.
Well, he comes across as slow, even though he's not. And it has a lot to do with his writing.
We should totally have Jeff Ford on.
Jeff Ford, just to set this up, is sort of a guy who does sort of these almost Stephen Wright-esque sort of lines.
Yeah.
Without the clever.
It's a lot of, like, bad puns, but they're sort of funny. And he does this in sort of this real harmless way. That's real sort of
I was
somewhat retarded, actually.
Childlike.
A little slow.
I was grilling on a barbecue, and my left arm caught fire. And the police came and arrested me for possession of a firearm.
You know, that's
a very accurate Jeff Ford, by the way. That I think Corey's doing some lame black guy's voice. No, that's what exactly
what
that
sounds like.
Exactly.
I'm just doing the ad. I'm doing the
No, here he
a
is.
A good pet to and, have and, is a rhinoceros.
Say you come home drunk and run into the side of your house.
You can blame it on the rhinoceros.
Well, we'll have to have Jeff Ford on someday, whenever we...
He's only got 5 more jokes. Don't fucking
know,
kill it
I know.
For him, man.
Guy's got 7 jokes.
John's an interesting... I'll tell you how I met John. Let's share that story. You remember this story.
Saigon, 1973.
That's right.
John was doing a comedy class at the Comedy Castle, the local club in Royal Oak here that we all work and hang out at. John had done the comedy class, and they have a big sort of graduation show. Now, if you know anything about the stand-up comedy class, that's where, like, the professor makes their money. Usually the instructor gets paid at the graduation class, because what happens is all these housewives do comedy, and they take this class. Then they tell all their friends and the chicks from the office and whatever to come out and watch them. And then the club packs 400 people in on a Tuesday night when no one would normally be there. They make money. The instructor gets a cut. The poor student gets nothing, but all their friends have spent, you know, $5 for a bottle of beer throughout the whole course of the night. And John was part of one of those classes. I was just hanging out one night there because I used to go and watch these kids and watch them either do incredibly well and then eat it for the entire rest of their career for the next 3 months until they quit. And then John came on and was one of the most unique voices I ever heard because he didn't give a fuck.
Still don't.
And offended pretty much everybody in the room. And it was fantastic. And I went up to you afterwards and went like, wow, that was some good stuff.
I still remember you said that was that's pretty good. And you offended almost everybody.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Which is kind of unusual right out of the gate.
You were doing jokes about Tom Cruise was a Scientologist. Right. And he was gay. Larry King was 8,000 years old and still having babies and stuff like that.
Exactly. And, and unfortunately, a couple of those jokes are still in my
Well, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. We did try and lean on you to get that big toilet joke out of the act, but
it's gone.
Okay,
good.
Oh, you haven't done the joke about
the corn.
John used to open a bit about who took a dump and left a giant corn
in
the toilet. The management wants to speak to you, and we took that out of the act.
It was way better than that.
He opens with he used to open with an incredibly graphic shit joke,
and here it is.
And go ahead, do it. You want to do it now? Do it for the fans.
First, first second on the stage is you like to thank whoever brutalized the men's room on behalf of the management. hope you enjoyed your day at the Corn and Nut Festival, you nasty son of a bitch.
Well, but John, you came to that joke naturally because not only are you a comedian, you have the other shittiest job.
I do. I do. I am a.
The
I am
two shittiest jobs, literally comedy two. And plumbing.
They are shitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are shitty. But I make the rent most months, so what the fuck?
That's
you
true.
Know?
That's true.
When John says he's played this toilet bowl, he probably yeah, really
right.
has.
Yeah. That's right.
So
that's pretty smart, though. John has a really lucrative, you know, day job, and then he can go out and do comedy and rock it out.
I don't know if it's lucrative, but I'm doing okay.
You're doing all right, man.
Doing
believe me,
right. doing all right. My wife does much better than me. Thank
well,
God.
Good.
Knock
it's,
on wood.
It's more lucrative. It's more lucrative than reviewing Big Mama's House 2 for an indie paper. I'll tell you that.
That's well, maybe that might be true.
If you hear any bitterness in Corey's voice, yeah, right. he had to skip the V for Vendetta screening to be here tonight. So please, nerds, feel his pain the, tonight.
When
he is he's trying to get through it.
What's the last movie you walked out of? I remember you saying Fat Albert. You just had 20.
Fat
Albert was pretty fucking
I
bad.
Left. You know, I really don't walk out of movies, and that's right. the problem. I'm a professional.
Right.
I sit there. I sit through Garfield. I'll sit there. I mean, I'll review Scooby-Doo 2, any goddamn thing. Big Mama's House. I sat through all that. Fat Albert pushed me to a place I couldn't go.
How was Fat Albert?
There were 15 minutes left in that fucker, and I just got up. I was like, it's like, anybody not know how this ends? I'm out of here. Yeah. I couldn't take Fat Albert. That one beat me.
I've not, you know, that's funny. I would have never even remembered that they made a Fat Albert movie.
Yeah.
Had you not just brought it up, because that movie sort of came and went.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
No one ever heard about it again.
Did you have to review, that American Idol movie a couple years from Kelly to the light-skinned black guy? Did you have to see that? Piece of shit.
I prefer to call him Dr. Jufro, but
Dr. Jufro.
He does have sort of that curly Jufro.
The nose no, job's
that,
nice.
That from Justin to Kelly classifies as a, one of those classic did not scream.
Oh, did not scream.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
Yeah. The new did not scream movie. They announced, you know, usually they just kind of like try and slide it under the rug and you go, hey, how come there's not a screening for Blood Rain? You know, and they go, right. This time they actually came out and announced, we will not be screening Larry the Cable Guy, health inspector.
Oh, really?
They just came flat out and they were like, no, we're not screening it. Thank you.
Who's going to that?
Studio
man.
Is not showing it.
Hillbillies. From what I hear about Larry, he stole the ideal. I mean, everybody says he steals jokes. Is that true?
I've heard that.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
There's a couple guys that are like aggressively against him and are naming albums like Fuck the Cable Guy. And,
really?
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole, like, the whole, like, New York kind of move guys hate Larry.
Right. And then one of those roasts they were ripping out.
Yeah, they hate him. And then there's guys like, I know this guy, I'm not going to name the guy.
Name him.
He's sort of this guy. He's a road dog. Funny guy, but he's kind of a drunk.
It's Dane Cook, isn't it?
He's kind of a drunk. He's not Dane Cook. Because Dane Cook should steal something funny from somebody at some point. But anyway, yeah, so this guy, he's a roadie. He's a road dog, you know, and I was working with him recently. And he talked about how there's two jokes in Larry's act. And he got a hold of him at one point on a radio show and confronted him on the air about it. And then Larry had called him afterwards. Because apparently Larry the Cable Guy used to work under his real name.
Which yeah. is?
I forget his name. It's, you know.
Steven Lipschitz?
Yeah, something like that. You know.
Are the leading asshole in the state.
And he used to work on his real name, and people knew him back then. And then we became Larry the Cable Guy. People sort of, you know.
Well, it's the exact same thing with our arch nemesis, Carlos Mencia.
Carlos Mencia.
His real name is Ned Torfelson or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah, his real name's Ned.
See, now I've heard he's stolen Lopez's jokes.
And he apparently he's not even like, he's like one quarter Mexican or something.
Oh, he's Colombian or something like that. Right, he's Central American. He's not even Mexican.
Right, he's like, are you serious?
Peruvian or some shit. Yeah. And it's all, hey, it's all beater jokes.
Yeah.
I heard Joe Rogan went off on him.
All right.
Yeah.
Coming at you here. It's 10:22 in the morning.
That's Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan.
Ladies and gentlemen, I leaned on the button.
The ghost funny. Of Joe fucking Rogan, and he's alive.
Joe Rogan had a theme song
from
the
UFC. All the way from the UFC, Joe Rogan.
Oh, man.
Fear was not a factor for Corey.
No,
he just
geez.
Hit the button there. What was that all? That was good. Yeah. Next time you bring up a guy.
And then there's this ass.
asshole.
That was the button I meant to hit.
Nice.
Now, did you hit the button on accident? Or did
I think I was clicked on the wrong
that
button.
That sounded amazingly.
It did.
Perfect. It was smooth. I was going with it, baby.
I could have fooled you.
Joe's an old stand-up guy, isn't he?
Yeah, Joe still does stand-up.
Does he?
Yeah, Joe. They played some him out of Howard Stern the other day, little Joe Rogan stand-up.
He's a big celebrity pop culture ripper guy, right?
Yeah. But like see, that. Joe's funny, though, because like Joe like was the stand-up comic. Then he got on news radio, and I guess he wasn't real funny on that show. I never watched it.
Right.
Because it was an ensemble show, and
he didn't have a big part.
Yeah.
And he was trying to play
Phil
the dumb guy.
Show?
It was like Andy Dick was kind of the goofy guy.
And then he did Fear Factor, where, again, he wasn't funny and got famous for that. Then he's like the color commentator in UFC, which is another gig where he's not funny.
But
he's not trying to be funny. So he got these three gigs where it doesn't require a stand-up comedy skill, so people forget that he does comedy.
Right.
But it does. So,
I'll take three gigs. Not
funny. I know, and I don't blame
the guy. Checks. God
damn. And he manages to be entertaining on some of those anyway. So
I would take all of that money to be a straight man.
Right. You know. Right. So, but it's just weird that that's
you are a straight
sort of his
man.
Career arc.
What? Oh, I'm a straight man in terms of I don't like to fuck boys. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
Corey is the funny guy on this show.
That's right.
Well, Joel and I are equally okay. Well, not, but Joel's funny too.
No, the point was that I'm more of the sort of announcer host. Corey is more the sidekick.
But it's not like he's a new...
It's not like it's sidekick. It's not, you know...
Now I'm fucking Robin. No.
No, I didn't say you're sidekick. Yeah. I said you're sidekick, but I didn't mean...
Right.
You're the sidekick.
You're Captain America and I'm Bucky.
No.
Right. We're co-hosts, but you get a little bit more of the business end of the job.
We're like the Wonder Twins, but we become... Yeah.
I thought it was the WAP and the Schnoz. I thought
Dago
that was,
and the Schnoz.
Well,
Dago
that was our morning radio thing, was Dago and the Schnoz. But no one can find that tape. That tape has disappeared. Yeah, we'll have to dig that up.
All right. Mm-hmm.
One day for our fans. Mm-hmm. Dago and the Schnoz. But what were we talking about?
Ned Mencia.
Well, you're talking about the Larry the Cable Guy movie won't be coming out.
No.
Will be reviewed.
Will
anyway.
Not be reviewed.
Yeah. Well.
You know, studios are now just kind of, usually they would always screen stuff. And if you didn't screen something, it was a mega disaster.
But when you're talking about something like Blood Rain, yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
But I think with the Larry the Cable Guy, they figure, well, everyone that wants to see it is going to go see it anyway.
Right. It's an alarming thing, though, because now they're, like, not screening more stuff than they ever have.
But, I mean, who's damaged in that, ultimately?
Not me. I don't have to
sit
through.
Right. You don't have to sit through it.
Garfield.
Okay. People that would maybe going to go see it
granted,
don't care.
I'm losing money that I don't get from – I don't get the check to review that movie.
Right.
And that's a problem. But, yeah.
You know what, though? The movie will make money because how much could it have cost to make?
Mm-hmm.
It's like him on a couch in a trailer, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a big deal.
I'm guessing $11 went into the budget.
Yeah,
because all they do is they had an Ernest script sitting around.
Yeah. Right.
They dusted it off, erased Ernest, wrote in Larry.
Ernest health inspector.
What did he save? Larry saves?
Well, he's a health inspector, whatever the fuck
there
he
you
is
go.
There.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the, what more do you
Larry,
need?
Larry Ernest. Saves his agent's year by making money. Guy makes money hand over fist.
Well, maybe not unlike Jim Varney, he'll kick off early. Maybe that'll be good.
We can only hope.
Or that Ron White guy could die, too.
I
don't really care about him either.
I'll tell you what. Ron White, I'll give him that.
Right.
Ron White, look, there's going to be some Southern comics.
Right.
Ron White seems like a reasonably funny
guy.
Got some stuff.
He just happens to be a country guy, and that's his act.
Right.
But Larry the fucking Cable Guy is probably from, like, Westchester, New York.
Right.
He's not that hillbilly, right? He's putting on an act.
He's doing a hillbilly act more than he's doing.
Yeah, you know, David Cross is from Georgia, and he's not doing... Golly!
David had some shit to say about Larry.
Oh, yeah, he didn't like
David,
him
David, David's a big guy who hates him.
Yeah.
And it really, between the two of them, to me, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah.
Intellectual fag or, you know, down home Southern. Neither I care for.
Right.
But anyway. No, not to put down. I would take his side in an argument.
David
but,
Cross, you got to go
you know,
with him over Larry the fucking
you know,
guy.
Put a gun in my head and put me in a David Cross show. I might have to, you know.
God,
pull the trigger before it's
the haterade was flowing.
No, David Cross. I don't know.
I'm sorry, but I can't think of who David Cross is.
Well, David Cross is kind of an alternative comic, and he's not my favorite comedian of all time, but he's pretty good.
Right.
I like him.
Can he write a joke?
Yeah, he's got some good stuff. I mean, you know, it is a little. It's a little too arch, and you know, the problem with David Cross is what happens is guys love him, then we see the results at open mic.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, it's not so much that I hate these guys so much as I hate the copies.
All right. Let's talk about guys acting like Dane Cook, because there are so many of these guys floating around now.
Dane Cook, his jokes on paper cannot be funny.
Yeah.
But the guy's huge.
Well, he's huge because I think he has a sort of a different style that people are adapting to. But meanwhile, people who sort of know comedy look at that and go, that's garbage.
Yeah. Mm.
But yet, there are these kids who are like, yeah, he's this rock star. Because he comes out and he's outrageous and he gets in everyone's face. Yeah. And it's like...
It's all about writing a
joke. The dirty little secret about comedy, though, is that we hate everybody.
That's not true. No, I work with a guy... last Tuesday in Bowling Green at the old Easy Street, yeah, okay. whatever that is, Bowling
we've
Green,
all done
Ohio.
That gig.
And we've all done that gig. You dragged me down there first time, thank
sure,
you.
Sure, okay.
And the guy there was like a Boston area guy, and he said he's been in the game. I can't remember his lame, name. He was lame. That was Freudian. Sorry if you're out there, Dane. And he said Dane, they came up together like 12, 14 years ago, yeah. whatever. He said the guy would kill every open mic. He would go out and destroy the room.
Yeah.
And it's all about energy because the guy's not funny. I mean, God bless him. I'd love to have half his career, but...
But, I mean, we saw Dennis Leary get big for a while, and now, you know,
right.
I mean, does anyone care? That guy's
I think
got no
Dennis
cred.
Leary wanted to be an actor, though.
Well, that's
more
fine.
Than being a comic.
He's made a dozen movies, hasn't he?
But some guys do it just to be an actor.
I understand that. But, right. you know.
I just want to be a stand-up.
It's a comedy-heavy show, folks, by the
it
way.
Is.
We're just going to be talking stand-up, stand-up, stand-up.
Yeah.
And what was the last time you did Coke off a girl's tits in the green room?
Me? I haven't done coke in ten months.
You're a married man. You would never.
No, John doesn't. John doesn't involve. First of all, there's very few chicks that you can even get at this level of comedy. Where
that's right.
If I'm going to say I'm the top guy in the totem pole in this room,
you are.
Okay. Yeah, the bitches ain't really throwing themselves. Yeah, at me no. anyway. So I'm good. You know
there
what
you
I mean?
Go. Me neither.
Yeah, you
but
know
there's
what I mean?
Always a Waffle House nearby. Would pick up one of those waitresses.
There is, but you're not famous at the Waffle House.
No, you got to do it right at that club.
You got to do it right at that club with the right. chick who's
you walk 10 feet out the door,
yeah.
you're fine.
Exactly.
But the thing is, you go to a small enough town, you're famous.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
The fact that anybody showed up to this goddamn town to do comedy.
But it's true. We've all done those gigs.
Yeah.
A lot of times, though, if you're the feature,
right.
you almost have to strike before the headliner's even done with his set.
You got to be
forget about it, literally.
You got to be in the audience
not,
working.
You literally got to be
It's ADD. That's what it is.
The few times I had any action after a show, and this has been a while, I've been happily with my girlfriend Kim.
He's winking at us.
Is literally when you hit on the girl during the show and like send her a drink and then like sit down with her during the headliner set. You literally got to go through that if you're like the feature or the MC or whatever because there's no
I don't like that, Joel.
Oh, stop it, Kim. He's got clips of my girlfriend. Look at this asshole.
You got clips?
It's Robo Kim.
Yeah, he's got Robo Kim on there. This the what do you call that?
Virtual
girlfriend.
Virtual girlfriend.
So yeah, like
you are in so much trouble.
I know, but this is a long time ago, Kim. This is not anything recent. This is like going back to like 2001. It was a long time ago. It's not anything
That's
recent.
My story.
Calm down.
2001.
2001. A Waitress Odyssey. It's my movie.
So why is it because the one skanky hoe in the bar is going for the headliner? Is that what you're
they'll
saying?
They'll forget
Joe?
About you, and they'll all end up fucking the headliner. So you really got to move quick. I'm telling you.
You
guys.
Really got to get into a medium-sized city where there's more than one hoe.
That's
so
right.
there's overflow. And then, you start working better.
Wapakoneta?
That's not it.
Have you done the Wapakoneta?
I have, and I loved it.
Let me tell you, when you work Defiance, Ohio, you're lucky to find one girl with a whole set of teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
Let alone, a hot one.
I met this chick the other night. I was in Traverse City, and this wasn't the kind of hitting thing. I was just talking about who's married, who's single.
Right.
I do a little bit about that in the act, and this chick raised her hand in the front row, and I'm like, a baby. How old? She's like, I'm 21. I'm like, you're married? You're 21? She's like, yeah, I'm married. I'm 21. She's not even out with the husband. So you know it's over at 21 because you know
sure.
the guy's out screwing something or at the titty bar or something.
Hey, by the
it's
way,
like, you're 21. Don't get married.
By the way, that bit at the top there, the whole thing with the 22-year-old girls. You know, I just want to say something. That little clip that we played.
That was
Rob.
Well. Everyone knows. What
hey, your girlfriend's 24. So
my girlfriend
really,
is 24.
What's the difference?
And lovely. And lovely.
No, the bit for those of you who didn't remember the open now is a reference to Show 22. And I think I can leave it at that.
We might not be able to get 22-year-old girls, but we can get 24. Joel and I have both pulled that off lately.
Well, not on the show. That was a specific incident that happened. If you want to hear show 22.
Yeah. And I can get 42.
Good job. Pound it
John,
in.
John gets the
fight. You got her when she was 22.
How old
so
is your wife, John?
42.
Your wife's 42?
She's
really?
Older than me.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Wow.
You guys have been around? Wow.
6 years on St. Patrick's Day we've been married.
Really? You got married on St. Patrick's
sure.
Day? Yeah, that's...
Well, I wanted to be able to remember.
Okay.
I was doing a lot of coke.
Well, that's
remember?
Friday. That's this Friday, Friday coming
yeah.
up. Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of Club Barts. It'll be my anniversary on
oh,
midnight.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, maybe we'll celebrate. I don't know. I'm actually going to be out of town. You're hosting that gig for me this week, though.
Thursday.
Right?
So, looking
yeah.
forward to it.
Yeah, I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be in. I'll talk about that later in the show. If I get my info straight. We're having a Corey and Joel Radio fan meetup this coming up weekend. I shit you not. So we'll talk about that. Before we'll
yeah.
do all our plugs
yeah.
again. Yeah, I'm not
once again, the 23rd Club Bart.
Yeah, and March 23rd is our one-year anniversary at Club Bart. It's another live show. If you enjoyed, don't forget Show 44 and Show 45 was our previous live show. If you haven't listened to that, go listen to it. And John Tortolot, of course, is the star of Show 44, so go listen to him. And we're going to be doing that all again March 23rd. It's our one-year anniversary special. Special guests include Jimmy Pardo, the great comedian who hosts AMC's movies at yeah. our house.
That's
and
awesome.
And he hosted that show Funny Money on GSN, which is a good show.
Sure.
A lot of stand-up on that. Jimmy's a great comic. Our buddy Jay Chris Newberg will be back for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can say this, announced officially on the show. I said this at Club Bar last week, but we have, if you live in Michigan, you know the chick I'm talking about. If you've seen the Comcast commercial.
Are those regional or
I think it's a local commercial. Okay. But anyway, it's the hot blonde who tells you, like, you got to get this snow off your dish. And it's like they're on like the third.
You know what I'm
oh,
saying?
Oh, yeah. She's got like hip huggers she, on.
Yeah.
She's
that's,
hot.
That's a chick named Amy Phillips. She's a friend of mine. She's an actress, comedian. She will be appearing March 23rd, so you can come out and say hi
she's
to her.
She's going
to
help you get the snow off your dish. You know?
Well, she's hot.
Amy, there's some snow on my dick. I mean, my dish.
Congratulations on that booking, Joel, because we've only been working on Amy for like a year.
We've been
and
working
a half.
On Amy, and what happened was, we'll get
before
into
we even
the
had
show.
A
we'll
show.
Hey, that Pardo, that's awesome. And Jimmy Newberg, that's awesome.
We invented the show to get Amy Phillips on.
How old is she?
Amy is, I don't know how old Amy is. Mm-hmm.
Every,
but Amy's, Amy,
every succulent curve.
She's old
couldn't
enough.
Be older than 26.
She's old enough to know better. But Amy
no,
will be on the show.
No, we've been trying to get Amy on the show for a
Amy,
long time.
Amy, if you don't know the commercials, trust me, guys. Amy's, you got to show up for that.
And fun.
You do coke off her tit. So.
Yeah.
Well, if things go well, you never know.
Amy and my girlfriend actually friendly.
Really?
Which is nice.
That'll be...
That might be good, too.
Which is nice until I leave one for... No, I'm kidding. No, I love
Joel,
that.
I'm leaving you.
Well, you know.
It's like she's here.
I don't blame her.
Oh, my.
I'd leave me, too. Anyway. So March 23rd, and don't forget show favorites, Sal D'Amelio, PJ Butlin, all going to be there live.
Awesome.
A lot of good stuff March 23rd. Club Bart in Ferndale, Michigan, and we'll put something in the mailing list this week, something on the website, something on the forum. You guys can figure out how to get there and come hang out with us. It's going to be a good time.
Uh-huh.
So
Joel, wait, before you leave that, can you tell somebody's joke on here? You should tell Jimmy Pardo's best dick joke ever. Man.
Well, you said you know what Jimmy Pardo's best dick joke. I don't even remember exactly. Why don't you go ahead and tell it?
Will he mind if I tell it?
Jimmy, I hope you don't mind if John tells your dick
joke.
Yeah,
Jimmy, we met at Ridley's, and you actually did this joke for me. It's my favorite dick joke ever, and I've got my own. The joke is Jimmy Pardo. He's giving his nephew a bath. He says, Uncle Jimmy, why does your penis look different than mine? And he says, well, Bobby, that's because yours isn't erect.
No.
It's a fantastic fucking fuck you. That's a good joke.
See, this is Jimmy Pardo, the guy that's on network cable television.
Yeah.
Who wants to have a clean reputation, so he drops jokes like that.
Yeah, but isn't that
and
a great joke?
It's up to you to bring them back here
it's
on this
forum.
It's a
great joke.
Speaking of guys that have been on network television appearing at Club Bart.
Yeah.
Last week we had the headliner from
Rhodes.
The Comedy Castle came over, Tom Rhodes.
Okay, Tom Rhodes.
Yeah. Good guy. Really good to hang out with Tom. Tom had his own NBC series.
Right.
And what was I don't even know what the name of his show
was. It
was
called Mr. Rhodes. It was on for like two seasons,
right.
And he was a rock and roll teacher. He
oh,
was like,
okay.
Right.
Yeah, he used to have long hair and the whole shtick. But guy, he's been on MTV,
nice
Comedy
guy.
Central.
Really, I missed Mr. Rhodes.
He said he had a show in Holland recently, too.
Yeah, he lived in Amsterdam for a couple
right.
years. But anyway,
I must have been beaten off to QVC during that show with
Tom,
the sound off. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Tom's been around since the early 90s, right? But anyway, here's a guy who's a professional, been on his own network series. That crowd couldn't have sucked worse for him.
Well, yeah, he showed up at our open mic, our Club Bart, our infamous open mic
and,
last week.
It just goes to show that the Club Bart, where we're having our anniversary party,
can eat it,
is the ninth ring of hell.
That's right. I ate
comedy.
It, too, that night, yeah.
They treated Tom Rhodes, a 15-year veteran, the same way they treat a guy who's done comedy three times. And that's what I love about that room.
They're stupid. Let's put it out there.
Yeah, I didn't know who Tom was. I still don't, but Tom.
You really don't know who he is?
I legitimately have never seen or
if
heard
he
of him.
If he had long hair, if he had his long hair, you would recognize him.
You know what, hey.
You know, like back, 7 or 8 years ago on Comedy Central, he used to be like, do you remember he had like the little interstitials that they would do like Dennis Leary where he had a bit where he'd be like, He's have long hair.
Anyway, nothing.
Really cool guy. Hung out with him, and he was nice. But yeah, and he did not, he got lucky because he went to Club Bart and he did not get hit with any flying objects.
Yeah, let me tell this story because John, I know you missed this one. I meant to tell this couple weeks ago. This is a big to do. Where I am. Megan, I run this open mic, Club Bart, Ferndale, Michigan. We're going to be there March 23rd. Enough of that. This is a weird open mic. Anyone that shows up gets on, basically. Not March 23rd, but most nights, the Thursday night, you come down, you get on, okay? And I put up a lot of acts that I don't know. It doesn't really matter. You show up, you get on. And but we had this chick named Keisha show up. Now, there's a black woman.
Young man, I suck your dick real good,
no,
brother.
A black girl named Keisha.
Yeah, it was a girl named Keisha, young black girl. I would say 25, not a day older. She shows up with her mama and her mama's boyfriend, and they have a little table, and they're sitting there, and they're drinking. I put Keisha up. She has no material whatsoever. Proceeds to insult the entire audience, and everyone hates her guts. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not an uncommon experience at Club Bart. So the next guys go up, the next couple guys, and it turns into, you know, everyone starts running the dozens, and it's just everyone's insulting each other. Everyone's making fun of Keisha, and it's all fun for a little bit. And there's a lot of – and so I want to say this, too. A lot of black people that night. Not a lot, like in a huge number of them. A disproportionate amount. Say, where Club Bart might be 30% black, it was 70% black that night. Corey, you want to go along with that?
It was a darker
night. Was Bees closed? The comedy case?
It seemed like somebody was handing out ribs. What was going on?
Bart does have an excellent...
The buses were running on time that night.
So anyway, so there's a lot of black people. And
it looked like the unemployment office on the first of the month. That's all I'm going to say.
It turned into black-on-black crime in there because...
What is your black audience? That might about have 75%, you guys?
Corey, that might have actually...
When chill's on, yes.
That might have actually been March 2nd that happened. So you figure that out.
People
you do the math.
Did anybody... Anybody throw down?
Well, here's the story.
People
so Keisha gets drunk,
yeah.
And the next couple guys insult her. And it was not terribly vicious, but it was sort of, you know, tongue-in-cheek. People were making fun of her, and that was
I got
a lot
there
of the
late,
material.
And it was already getting rowdy. I miss Keisha, but it was getting rowdy when I got
there.
And
then I put up this guy, another black gentleman, believe it or not, named Cat Daddy. Now, this guy, Cat Daddy, has been nowhere in big. He's probably done comedy four times in his life, right? And you figure Cat Daddy, that's a brother's name, right? You're not going to see some little Jewish guy getting up calling himself Cat Daddy. It's a tall, proud black man, Cat Daddy.
I done told you niggas 9-10 times, stop fucking with me.
That's actually a clip of Cat Daddy right there. And so Cat Daddy gets on stage and immediately goes after Keisha, not surprising. But the first thing goes, Keisha, you better fix that weave. So, all right, now we've got problems. Because the one thing you don't do is insult a black woman's weave. That's one thing you don't touch.
That's right.
So Keisha jumps out of her chair and she runs up to the stage.
Well, and then he said, baby... You might not be able to tell a joke, but you can sure suck my dick.
Well, thanks for ruining my next part of the story, but yeah. Well, he pulled his pants down before he did that, but again, you want to take over?
And then he dropped the pants.
Yeah, he did. Then he drops his pants. So, but Keisha's already pissed about the weave. Like, she was ready to start going. So as soon as he tells her to suck her dick, and then I run up because he takes his pants down.
Right.
She starts picking up shit at the bar and just chucking it at him. She picks up one of those glass crystal ashtrays. You know the ones they have there. They're about 8 inches across.
The one CC Dynamite threw at me.
They weigh about 5 pounds. She threw, I think, a bowl of peanuts at you.
And she went discs of Tron style. I mean, she discus.
So she throws this ashtray up there.
At his
thing's got to weigh 3-4 pounds. Well, I'm on stage. So of course, it misses him and hits me right in the arm, like right here underneath where I wear my watch here on my left arm. And I'm like, oh, and I knew it hurt right when it happened. I'm like, Keisha, calm down. She takes the salt and pepper shakers, throws those up, hits Cat Daddy under his eye. Cat Daddy's bleeding. Then Keisha's mama and boyfriend run up, and they want to beat up Cat Daddy.
It was real Springer.
So make sure you come out March 23rd, Club Bart, folks.
Well, no one's going to do that to Jimmy Pardo. Trust me on that.
The second he said, you can suck my dick, that table erupted into Springerism.
Yeah, it turned into...
Oh, hell no, nigga. You try that. Oh, hell no. We going to kill you. Oh, shit. And jumping up and down and chairs rattling. It was crazy.
Yeah, it went ballistic. The crowd was chanting Jerry, Jerry. Like
it was it was the dick sucking, not the hair weave.
Right. Well, the hair weave would have gotten her crazy.
But the dick, that was
I think she was already mad at the hair weave.
Yeah, she definitely was. I mean, I thought she was going to blow. Yeah. And once he started like dropping his pants, I ran up on stage because like, I got to defuse this.
So then Joel has to split. We're splitting them up. There's a big crowd of people.
I'm taking Keisha and her mom out the back.
I brought Bart out of the back to come waddle down there with the baseball bat or whatever. And
with the baseball bat.
Bart's got a sandwich in his office.
I'm standing there, and I'm looking at Bart, and I'm like, Bart, I don't know. And then I see the ashtray go flying. I'm like, yeah, you better come on.
Yeah, and the ashtray just whacks me. And now I'm walking around the rest of the night with a giant bruise, big ice pack on my arm. For 2 weeks, I got a big fucking knot on there.
So Joel has to, he goes out in the alley to clear this whole mess up and like get them separated. So there's dead silence for a minute, and then I went up and took the mic, and I said, folks, we'll be right back with our Black History Month showcase in just a moment, honoring the memories of Rosa Parks and Greta Scott.
So definitely, you know, it's one of those things.
But in fairness, white people have gone completely crazy there, too.
There's been a number of crazy white
people. Who's the guy that pulled his shirt off? That guy, Ann Arbor kid. Aaron Lisker.
Yeah, Aaron Lisker. Corey and him had a little tete-a-tete.
I didn't see it, but I heard he pulled off his shirt for intimidation reasons.
That was in the alley.
Who the fuck does that?
And then Corey took the mic from him. Corey, literally, when he took the mic, I literally mean like this kid had his hand around it like in a fist.
Right.
And Corey yanked it out.
And why did you yank it?
He was awful.
And you had
Corey enough. Had seen all he could see.
He was dying, and I just said, you know what, wrap it up, thanks. And I went and took the mic.
Well,
and
you know, John, you know how I do it? Well, I'll stand on the steps.
Right,
and
then go up a stair.
And sometimes I'll wave out like 1 minute left.
Right.
Corey just ran up and took the mic out of the guy's hand.
In fairness to Aaron, and I suppose I should be fair about this, I had already been pushed to the edge by a guy named Faux Show. So at
black
that point,
Faux Show says, "I'm going to cut you, bitch."
I believe
I'm cut you, bitch.
I believe he's Korean with that name.
No, Faux Show's a black guy, obviously.
He's
No, but I'd already had a problem with the guy who.
Yeah, straight
get
up felon too. By the way, that guy. Yeah.
And so by the time Aaron went up there, I was not playing around, and and then
so Corey almost got. Although Corey was really in no danger because it was just like the skinny white guy that we all could beat up.
Right.
And meanwhile, I have a dozen crazy blacks trying to kill each other.
I was really afraid of Keisha's mom. I think that would be the one that would.
Well, somebody had to be packing heat in that group. I mean, come
down. Did she have a wave?
She looked like Madea. You know what I'm saying? From Madea's Family Vacation or whatever.
Nice. She was an extra from Girlfriends. She's that big and fat. What was the show with Queen Latifah? What was her WB show?
Rent Check. I don't know.
Was it not Sister Sister? What was the name of it?
She worked in an office. That's all I remember.
Was that it? I don't remember the name of that show.
I've said this before. You could hide national security information on the WB.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
You know, I would never know. They'd be like, every night at the WB, they can announce ways you could find $10,000 hidden in trees.
Right.
And I would never find it. I would never know.
Yeah, no one sees that channel.
Those are ugly. You said Sister Sister. Those are really ugly black twins, aren't they? The fuck did they make it? So, and then Jack A in the mix.
Oh yeah,
no, nobody wants to see.
You know, remember,
we could write a whole fucking episode in 20 minutes.
Didn't white people used to watch Urkel? What was that show called?
Family Matters.
Family Matters.
Yes,
with Reginald Velgleason.
But that was because Johnson. The was on a Friday night, and generally that's like white people. Like Friday night ABC was like the Full House, that show, but shit like that.
Love Boat,
like,
Fantasy Island? No.
I don't know what happened,
that was,
though.
I think, Saturday night ABC.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I don't know what happened. White people used to watch Sanford and Son.
They'd
good watch
times.
The Cosby Show, Good Times.
Right.
Now you can't pay a white guy to watch the Steve Harvey
those
show.
Were all good shows.
Oh.
Even like Bernie Mac, I can't watch.
Yeah. Bernie Mac's okay. My dad likes that.
Sanford and Son was a great show. Did you like that show?
Sanford and Son's the best show.
You can get Raul out of my truck. My whole truck smells like Puerto Rican. You couldn't say that today.
Dude, I have.
You could not say that today.
I have the first two seasons on DVD.
You know what one was on the other
day? I want to get them from you.
The one where they made a sitcom out of Sanford and Son.
Oh, really?
And it was a white guy and like his Jewish old Jewish dad. And John Larroquette was like the Lamont character.
Well,
when they made like they basically made a they made it a sitcom, and then Fred and Aunt Esther and Lamont went to watch the taping, and Aunt Esther started a big fight.
I can't believe she would cause trouble.
Yeah, but it was great because like they're in the TV studio, and the set is like the Sanford and Son set, and then you see Fred and Lamont and Aunt Esther. Like,
were they still junkmen?
And Grady, yeah, I think so. But it was like an old Jewish guy, and then the son was played by John Larroquette with a big mustache, like Lamont.
But ironically enough,
Lamont
Sanford and Son is an adaptation of a British show called Steptoe and Son.
Right.
So I think Brits, when they come over here and see that, are like, "What the so is this?"
Right.
There's Negroes on Steptoe and Son.
And the guy, if you don't
know. Cool.
The guy
it's a fine British accent.
And the guy that played Steptoe, I forget the actor's name, was also Paul McCartney's grandfather in A Hard Day's Night.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's the same guy. So
wow.
That guy was.
You may know A Hard Day's Night.
Why is that in your fucking head?
Because I watched
head,
A Hard
dude.
Day's Night.
Wilfred,
why is that in your
Wilfred,
head?
Yeah, Wilfred I have A Hard Day's Night.
Brimley.
Too,
Wilfred Brimley.
We'll look that up. Yeah, it's probably not in that.
There's a Beatle book right here.
Yeah, I have some Beatles books, but that's not important. People can figure that out.
That's go watch Hard Day's Night if you haven't watched.
Yeah, Hard Day's Night is good. Steptoe and Son. You can get that on DVD in the States, I believe. Steptoe and Son.
He's a clean old man.
He's a dustman.
Oh,
chimney sweep.
That dustman is a garbage man.
Right. Yeah.
Is a fanny a vagina?
I've a fanny that. Is a vagina.
It absolutely is. I have a British friend who came and visited Detroit, and he went by the Fanny Farmer Candy Store, and I couldn't stop.
Which is now gone.
He shit his pants for about 10 minutes.
Really?
It's called Fanny Farmer, then. Right. It was rich. Anyway.
Yeah.
Is that by Oakland Mall?
Sanford and Son, all-time great show.
Great show. Oh. I just bought a Sanford and Son shirt that says... Back off, Whitey. Oh, no. It's the Jefferson cat.
Oh,
back
right,
off,
right,
Whitey.
Right.
Black guy. Same thing.
One of my favorite episodes, Lamont is in a community production of Othello, and he's rehearsing the death scene with Desdemona. And Bubba and it's so good.
Scatman Crothers.
No, they come up. Yeah, but they
Bubba and Grady?
No, Bubba and
Grady.
And Red Fox walking up to the door, and he goes, Bubba! The big dummy done killed a white woman in my own house. It's classic television.
Now, did you know this little treat? I believe this is true. Tell me if I'm wrong on this.
Fred Sanford.
Isn't Red Fox's real name Fred Sanford?
I believe that is correct.
That is his actual
that's
real name.
Cool.
That's kind of an interesting little Sanford and Son bit there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't when he died, I think the IRS showed up in his driveway to take his shit, didn't they? I believe they did.
He had tax problems.
He didn't manage his money that
the Red
well.
Fox.
He
well.
Died on the set of whatever that crappy show with Jack Hay was that he was doing.
It was Jack Hay and the big...
Was it called Chicken Soup or was it
nah,
Jackie
it
Mason?
Was Jackie Mason?
Okay.
That would have been a great show if you put Red Fox and Jackie Mason together.
Jackie looks great up close. I saw him in Tampa Bay
did
a couple
really?
Years ago. Oh, he looks fantastic.
How up close?
He looks like 25.
Oh, really?
100 years old.
What do you know?
Oh, my God.
What do you know? I dip in formaldehyde every morning. What do you know? Jackie Mason.
Hey, we're not. Wait, let me tell a quick. Jackie Mason, I was down doing Last Comic Standing auditions, camping out like a big loser that I am. And,
this is last year, not this one?
Yeah, last year.
Okay.
Maybe my daughter wasn't born like the year before, whatever.
Maybe, okay,
but yeah. Doesn't matter, irrelevant. But anyway, he had a gig there at the Improv, and they didn't really advertise it. So I heard from guys that were in line. He went in. They had the house lights up. He walked up to the mic, and there was like about 30 people there. He said, sorry, folks, but I've been doing it too fucking long. And he dropped the mic on the phone. He walked on the floor and he walked out the fucking door.
Wow.
That's an angry old man. I like that.
I can't believe it.
I'm going to do that at my next Sabo gig.
That's right.
I've been doing this too long to play for 30 people. F you.
That's right.
I did a show. I did a Friday night show over the past weekend. 12 people.
I had 22 like, or 30.
Bullshit.
22, 25 in Bowling Green. But you know, it's a good show.
That's a midweek show, though. I mean, I'm talking Friday night, 8 o'clock.
Plus on spring break at a college town.
Yeah, I know.
12 people.
12. This is in Traverse City.
Did you get paid the same?
Yeah, I got paid.
Who cares?
You did Traverse City in an off month. It's not a tourist
month. I did,
but
Traverse City is a big town. I mean, there's got to be 300,000, 400,000 people living in Traverse City.
It's a lot of money up there, too.
It's big. They got everything up there. I mean, they literally have everything.
There's a lot of money up there.
They got a mall. They got to be...
So it's like almost this Grand Rapids size.
It's a huge... I mean, am I wrong about that? I mean, it's a big city.
It's
a big town.
It's nice up there.
So, yeah, I mean, but it was just like, there's just...
How far of a drive is that? 5 hours?
It was about 4.5 hours, yeah. And that's one of the reasons my back is shot. I am... Well, before we go to a break, I was just going to tell everybody I am dealing with some back pain here today, folks.
Right.
Some sciatica. That is some awful shit.
Right. And me and Corey are actually rubbing it as we speak.
John is going to apply the ointment right during the break here.
Joel's going to be doing the rest of the show on Percodan, folks. So enjoy that.
I'll be on the floor. Corey will be standing on my back for the second half of the show.
You don't want me standing on your
back.
No,
believe me.
I don't think I weigh any less
than
you.
Let's see if we can find a small Japanese woman to come
so
in.
So let's
here.
Get ready. Let's get ready. We'll come back. We're going to talk about... John's big show coming up. We're going to plug that.
Cool, thank
you. On the second half of the show here. And what else are we going to talk about? Just more bullshit, right?
Yeah, we'll be back in just a moment.
More racism and bullshit, folks. Tune in.
Here's a little more Jet. And we'll be back after this with more show.
You all
Get for you from Get Born, their debut CD. That was Jet with Get What You Need. Corey and Joel Radio back with you. You all right there in your chair there,
yes,
big
sir,
man? All right,
Corey
all over there. Our guest, John Tortolette. Let's plug John here. Let's give John a little pluggy plug.
Plug, plug. Thank
Johnny
you.
Is going to be appearing, and this is a big day. Now, we have our show March 23rd. Big weekend of comedy here in the Motor City because March 25th, the Baldwin Theater in Royal Oak will be hosting John Tortolette's comedy CD taping. Should I mention that there? Yeah,
sure.
It's called,
very excited.
With All Due Respect, it'll be John Tortolette and very special guests on the bill. Tell everyone who's on the bill with you there.
I got two of my favorite comics, guys that are actually much bigger than me in the game, but they're good friends. That's how this little game works. I've got Jason Bensie coming up from Toledo, the Thrill Billy.
Okay.
He's actually coming up all the way from Alabama the night before. He's got like an 11-hour drive or something. That's a good friend. But I gave his kid my guitar.
Look at you.
So maybe it is costing me a couple $100. And then I've got Bill Bouchard, who's huge in town here.
He's a big part of our show. He's been on our show many times.
Big, funny.
There are guys who can't get on the show, and Bushy's on his fourth or fifth appearance.
Yeah. So March 25th, the Baldwin Theater in Royal Oak, it's $20. It'll get you two drinks.
It'll get you two. It's a blue comedy, all adults. Yeah. All the money goes to the theater. It's a little community theater. Seats $380, and I'm hoping it goes well because I'm taping my first CD to go to sell on the road when I do all these shit gigs and try and make another $50.
Right, so John, and if you want tickets, you can get these by calling 248-541-6430 for John Tortolette's With All Due Respect.
And that is, John is a tremendous comic, and those are two good guys.
You get to see your Bill Bouchard. It's a good show, so come on.
You're getting a closer opening for you, so there you go.
That's for damn sure.
Exactly, so that's a good show, and don't forget, can we plug our stuff here? CoreyandJoelRadio.com, for those who don't know, is the website. You can always get the show on iTunes if you're using the iTunes service. Feel free to write a review. It helps us over there. You can vote for the show on Podcast Alley at podcastalley.com.
Yeah, we need a little more votes there.
Yeah, we haven't had a ton of votes this month, but it doesn't matter too much, but it helps. It just takes a second. Why not shoot over there? Give us a vote. And don't forget to sign up for the mailing list. You get lots of free bonus crap with that.
And the forums, by the way. If you're signing up for the forums, post something.
Yeah, with the forums at CoreyandJoelRadio.com, feel free to post in there.
We have people sign up who never
questions.
Post.
So. Post.
Yeah.
Post. Sign up and just say hi.
And you can email us always at email@CoreyandJoelRadio.com.
Okay. I mean, there's the super dorks who post every day on there. But get on there. Yeah,
don't post every day.
People are intimidated by our super dorks, and there are. And I say that with loving, with all due respect. Oh, let me plug this, too, then.
We used to have a faux crack whore.
At the... We used to have a guy who pretended to be crack whore.
Who had amazing internet access for a girl who sucked dick on the bridge on Wacker in Chicago.
March 17th and 18th, by the way, I'm going to be appearing in Merrillville, Indiana at the Radisson Hotel in Merrillville, Indiana. I forget the name of the comedy club there. I'll have to look that up. If you need more info, email me. But our buddy Cam from Yellowknife will be at that show. I think the late show, the 10:30 show on Saturday night. So I will be there performing my stand-up comedy, and our buddy Cam is going to be in town. So
This Saturday, I will be at some bowling alley in Bay City.
It's called the Washington Lane,
Joel,
my friend.
Joel, do you get a room at the Radisson, or they drive you up the street to Paul's?
You know what? I think I'm actually staying at the Radisson. Actually, I was told it's based on occupancy.
Oh, great.
And if the Radisson is booked out, then they're going to be putting me up at a Fairfield Inn. So either way, it's good.
Okay, awesome.
Either way, it's all good. So I'll be there 17th and 18th. Two shows at the Radisson in Merrillville, Indiana. Look that up. And Corey's going to be Saturday the 18th
at
Washington Lanes in Bay City. Yeah.
Downtown Bay City. I was there a few weeks ago, and I was lucky enough to be there on a Latino night. So that was a good time. I knew it was Latino night because the bar was filled, and there was only like 9 cars there. So right. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good times.
Because Bay City is a big Latino hotspot.
You know, I ran into a guy there. There's a guy that has something to do high up with the UFC.
Oh, really?
Ultimate Fighting. Yeah.
Okay,
I saw his jacket.
Tito Ortiz.
I don't know. He's an older guy, but one of the bartenders said the guy owned half the town. So
he owned half of Bay City?
Yeah, what's that? That's got to be worth a couple $100.
I have no idea.
Who's from Bay City?
Because the Fertittas own UFC. Those are the guys. Those are the guys that own the casinos. Mm. I don't know. I don't know who owns
Now
UFC.
Joel and I will dork out and do some research.
Well, we're going to do research.
Oh, hey, wait. I got a plug, a horrible plug. If you happen to be a moose and you happen to be in Saginaw, you don't have to come see my show for $20. You can see my part of it for probably almost nothing at the Saginaw Moose, Saturday night, 9 o'clock.
This Saturday.
With two horrible comics. God, I hope they don't listen to this.
Saturday the 18th.
There's this one guy that does comedy.
Just kidding.
I don't know if he still does, but big fat biker dude.
Bam Bam.
And he was always trying to get me to join the Moose Lodge.
Yeah, I've worked for Bam Bam, and I've performed at a Moose with him, and yeah, there
Did
is a lot
Did you get that spiel from him?
Yeah, I always get that spiel.
You got it. You get in a Moose Lodge, and you get a steak everywhere you go, and it's like, well.
Yeah, I've eaten the Moose food, and it's awful.
And $40? $40
it's,
in a steak?
It's horrible, like, awful food. I did, what else did I did something, some other Rotary Club
What's
or
up with these fraternal orders?
And the food is the
cheap
worst.
Cheap drinks, that's all this.
It's cheap drinks, and then it's like somebody brings, like, a macaroni salad.
you know,
it's like all the potato salad and mostaccioli you can eat.
Here in fun and fancy Free Ferndale, which is a hoppin' bar district, it's like one of the top two, you know, areas in the city of Detroit, the metro.
Right.
For, like, bars and stuff and nightlife. There's an Elks Club on the lot, the corner, that's like sucking up prime real estate and a liquor license.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, it's like two old guys. And there was an article like, people under 50 are joining the Elks Lodge. But it's like, come on.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. If you're like a single young man who wants to go somewhere in life, don't sign up with the Moose or the Elks or any of those guys.
No.
It's a lot of old, married, bored people who are thinking they're having a great time.
What was the
But they do have
one?
Poker machines that pay off, you know, a lot of them. That's something.
It's like your it's like your buddy's neighbor's basement.
Yeah, they got a dartboard, and you know you can sit in there
and
play.
They have poker night, and they'll have euchre night.
You know, I guess there's some chicks that have joined in now, and they're, you know, what are they going to break some Rice Krispie treats over or something? I don't get why the Elks Lodge.
Right. I mean, it's not like it's like a whorehouse. It's not like it's just like.
It's not like the Loyal Order of Wild Water Buffaloes that Barney and Fred were in the Flintstones.
I don't know what it is.
Which was good.
But anyway, so there's many places to see all three of us do comedy. Probably you live nowhere, but the thing about Maryville, it's near Chicago. So if you're in the Chicagoland area, it's less than an hour's drive, and it's a resort hotel, and I believe there's some casinos.
Let me tell you, when we take this show national on the road. We start touring.
We're going to be blowing up, man. It'll be me, you, and...
Blowing up.
Let's take this bitch to
Bouchard and John Tortolotti will be on the show.
The power of podcasting is we're international. We're global.
We're global.
That's why we have listeners in Yellowknife, and then we have listeners in Reykjavik,
other
Iceland.
Continents are listening to this program.
And Australia and Iceland and all these places.
Me, I can only perform...
Are you serious about Iceland?
Germany. Yes, we have listeners in Iceland.
That's awesome.
Do you have anything to say to the people of Iceland? Say it now, John.
Hello. No, I have nothing.
I can only perform in places that are 1.5 gas tanks away.
You know, the only thing I know about
it is... That.
Oh, isn't that... is that crazy bitch Bjork from there?
Bjork, I believe.
She's still got
Iceland.
Some fucking Viking in her. I saw her take out a reporter
she
at the
beat
airport
up a Japanese
once.
Reporter.
Yeah, that bitch is crazy.
That is a famous... that was even before it would be called a viral video.
Right.
But now it would be a viral video.
Right.
So I'm
sure she's had some Viking in her before.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Did you see the swan dress she wore or whatever the hell that dress was?
She did a video called Pagan Poetry where she's topless in it, like sticking needles through her nipples.
Yeah, it was.
It's one of the wildest things you'll ever see. And it's just her singing the song, like in this weird, like meshy thing.
Yeah, I've seen that as well.
Out,
yeah,
and then she's just like. Poking needles through
her.
She
probably
breath.
Doesn't look good naked, does
you,
she?
No. Not
kinda, I liked her.
I used to think she was so cute, and then something happened where she just got annoying.
Oh, it's called age.
And bangs. I hate bangs on Viking chicks.
I don't know what happened.
She was cute in the sugar cubes, though.
I used to think she was like the cutest little indie chick, and now I don't know. Now I think she's just annoying.
But if you can find that Pagan Poetry video,
it's on a DVD somewhere. They used to do these like rock, I forget what they called them, but it was like profiles of rock bands, and they would have videos on them.
They actually.
It was in the early days of DVD. I forget what
it
was called.
I can't remember which movie it was, but it actually played in front of some indie movie, and I remember like being excited that there was a trailer.
Is it like on those videos, that one where Chuck Berry pisses on the chick and asks for
I
a
have
kiss,
that.
And then she says, I can't kiss you, you smell like piss? Right?
I have that on tape.
Well,
I told you about that.
Why don't we not play that?
No. What about
that? I have it on a VHS. You have the
I have it on a VHS.
I'd like to just play the audio.
What's the Go-Go's one? There's one with the Go-Go's on that same tape, right? Belinda Carlisle doing something?
The Go-Go's banged like their roadies or something, like the male roadies.
I'd like to watch Jane Wedlin in action.
Yeah, they were all given blowjobs, I think, on the Go-Go's video.
Really?
I've never seen it.
Serious.
Yeah, there's a Go-Go's.
How come I get to see the Chuck Berry video?
Yeah, right.
But I don't get to see the Go-Go's. No, the classic, the immortal line, they're like in a hot tub, and he stands up, and he pees on her.
Right.
This is R. Kelly or Chuck Berry?
This is Chuck Berry. He goes, first of all, he's very tender because he's like, oh, did I get pissed in your eye, baby? He's like, he's got a towel trying to wipe her out. And then he's like, I'd kiss you, baby, but you smell like piss.
Where's the camera exactly?
He's like mounted it over across.
Yeah, he had weird surveillance. Like, damn, he owned a restaurant, and there was like a camera
really
over the women's
toilet.
It's really
not the best quality video you've ever seen.
Like, yeah, well, Chuck Berry was sort of, you know, he was before.
Yeah,
what about the Kid Rock one? You guys seen that one?
No, we talked about this on the last show. And
I don't want to see Kid Rock fucking
I don't
anybody.
Think anyone does. Did you see the Tom Sizemore sex tape?
I've heard about it.
Yeah, I've got that, and I tried to watch it, and it was just weird.
See, with Heidi
Fleiss? It's funny. He's funny. No, he's banging a bunch of chicks, though. I don't know.
Someone said he was
You've
on that Donnie Deutsch.
Go-Go's tape,
Donnie
though.
Deutsch? What's that guy's
Donnie
name?
Donnie Deutsch.
Donnie Deutsch. He was on there the other day, and they were saying they were saying he hooked up with Paris Hilton.
He makes the claim that he banged Paris Hilton when she was like 18, and she denies it. But
I bet he did.
That is a good show that 8 people in the country watch, because he does get good guests.
The big
that.
Idea yeah. with Donnie Deutsch.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of, like, anytime, like, Vince McMahon or any other wrestlers want to get on,
sure.
like, he gives them an open forum. Like,
or the Chopper guys are always on there?
Yeah, the American Chopper guys.
Those, well, you know, Bradshaw is like, he's like a financial wizard
right.
or something.
I told you, he was the main guest on Neil Cavuto on the, whatever,
the Fox.
Yeah.
The Fox like
the
Money
o'clock,
Show.
Yeah.
Is that the Fox
the
Money
weekday
Show?
One, like, there was something about oil prices, and he just brought in Bradshaw from the WWE. Without any introduction, and just talk to him like he's a money expert. And then at the end of it, by the way, you can see Bradshaw on this month's pay-per-view.
Right.
Oh,
and
no
it was
shit.
Like, you're taking fucking
well,
money.
Rita Cosby loves them, too.
Oh, God.
Oh. You know, he's another money expert, the guy from MASH. You ever see him? He's analyst.
Yeah.
It freaks me out.
The
he's
guy
always,
Wayne,
I don't know, but he's the guy from MASH.
Yeah, Wayne.
Trapper John?
Trapper John,
yeah. It's weird.
What
as
is that
hell.
Guy's name? Wayne... Shoot.
We can't figure out anyone.
Why can't I remember names today?
I don't know, but he's always the guy
he
from
is
MASH,
a, he
and
is,
he's a huge
he's
analyst.
A, he is a money pundit guy.
Yeah.
And, Wayne, is it? It's not Wayne Knight. That was a fat
name.
Guy from
Wayne Knight was on Seinfeld.
You going to look it up?
It's not Ferret Face. Hey, speaking of people missing limbs.
Who's missing limbs?
Radar. You ever see Radar? You ever play that game? Radar's missing a couple of fingers on one of his
Gary
hands.
Gary Berghoff?
Yeah, he's missing. I waited on him. I used to 10 bar. But I heard, you know that like Bob Newhart game, every time they say, hi, Bob, you have a drink? Every time you spot some of his missing digits, you have to have a drink?
How did he lose the fingers?
I have no idea. I didn't ask.
He stuck them up one of Barker's beauties.
There you go. But if you look at the clipboard, he's got a clipboard a lot. Every once in a while, you'll see the missing digits.
Really?
It's crazy.
Wayne Rogers.
Wayne Rogers is the guy that played Trevor John. And Gary Berghoff has missing fingers.
Gary Berghoff.
We're learning everything about MASH and Sanford and Son today.
What is Loretta?
Anybody under 30 has already turned this
suicide
off.
Suicide
so
is painless. It brings on many changes.
That Loretta Swit.
The original movie is great. Go watch the original.
Yeah, the original
movie
MASH movie is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's different from the show, though. If you really like the show, you may find that like the Elliot Gould's Hawkeye isn't the same. It's not. They tweaked the characters, even though they were all named the same. They all took on sort of their own identities
the
on the team.
I think they have better. The guys have better chemistry.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like
in the movie,
Sutherland
and
Elliot Gould.
And Elliot Gould are the two main guys on the
I've
movie.
I've seen it. I like it.
And
wow,
but Gary Berghoff was actually the only person that was in both.
Was there a Jamie Farr character in the movie?
Well, no, Klinger was not in the movie.
Klinger came later anyway.
There were a bunch of characters they didn't have in the show, like Painless the Dentist. And well, they had Spear Chucker for like the first. they literally did. There was a guy in the movie called Spear Chucker Jones, who's a football player. He's of the Afro-American persuasion. And they had that on the show for like 3 days, and somebody at the network went, yeah, you got to get called Spear Chucker.
Can't do that.
Probably
nice.
Should lose him.
That'd be my black comedy name.
And there was, Duke was in the movie too, but...
Stop.
Oh, sorry.
Stop. I want us to have at least one listener at the end of this. I want at least one guy to be listening.
Someone's going
to
hang
when
in there.
When we get to the 73-minute mark, I want there to be at least one guy
one
that we
can I'd like someone
to.
Who hasn't slept with me to listen to this whole program.
Well, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those 8 already tuned
yeah,
out.
Yeah, right.
It's true.
Anyway.
They have gone to bed already.
What would be your black comedy name? Me and Corey have done this a million times on the show, but we were going to be Cornbread and Grape Soda at one point, but
I wish I had a button that was a black comedy name generator. And I just hit it.
What would be your black comedy name?
My black comedy name?
Yeah, you know, like there's always guys like Pop
Short Ribs.
Yeah, there's always guys like that.
I don't know.
Cocoa Pop.
Yeah, I would be Ted Riot.
Seriously, what would be
nobody
your
knows him. I could be
what
him.
What would be your black comedy? It's not black. There's
give it up for the comedy of Rent Check.
Yeah, you would want to be like,
Man, I don't know. Nothing to
Gold Rims. Give it up.
Gold Rims.
Come on, John. You got to have at least a black comedy name. Everyone's got to have a black comedy name. If you're going to be black, like, think about it. You're angry. You're
give it up for the comedy of Wife Slapper.
Black Eyed Peas.
I've never thought about it. I
can't think of any. I've never actually thought.
You usually named after like some black food object, or some sort of like you could be like
an emotion chill.
It could be that. It could be like you could be named like Rolex, like some kind of bling thing, like
Spoon Shank. Could be named that's it. Spoon Shank.
All right, you're not that's Spoon it. Shank. That I'm is your black Spoon comedy Shank. Name. I'll agree with that.
Spoon Shank.
And that would be good because that would be like you'd be like a prisoner type.
Yeah,
guy.
You could just call me Spoony or
Spoon
something.
Spoon Shank. Yeah, okay, that's
Spoon
fine.
Spoon Shank.
I wanted to establish that before we ended the show.
Give it up for the comedy of cheese balls. Show your love.
Nigga, please.
Next time Tyler Perry's in town, I got to go.
Where does he come to town for?
He comes and does those tours.
Like the plays?
Yeah, he's making movies now.
Is it the Masonic Temple? Where did he do that?
His real bread and butter is the circuit. It's like, yeah, the
chill. Mo better. No, three Mo Tenors. Three Mo Tenors is
the three
town.
Mo Tenors
the
is
three
coming.
Mo Tenors.
Have you seen that, Corey?
I wish I had.
It's three black guys that are like the three tenors, right. But they're the three Mo Tenors.
The three Mo Tenors. Right.
That is so clever, isn't it?
You know, all of
your arms too short to box with God.
Gotta see that one.
All you got to do is put a black guy in a like a woman's outfit with a big hat. That shit's
that's
comedy.
That's what Tyler Perry does. That's
all
he
does.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
comedy.
That guy's sitting on a stack of money like Scrooge McDuck. And we're sitting around
I'm doing
here
that. Yeah,
doing this show for $2
light,
for no
he's
dollars.
He's lighting a cigar
no
with a $100 bill, and we're
I'm going home to the trailer.
We're doing a podcast. Yeah.
I think I can't explain to listeners outside of the United States exactly what the Chitlin Circuit is, but. It's this like regional black theater, but it's Nash. I don't know. It's a lot of it's in the South, but they sometimes tour in places like Detroit, which have a big black population, and they do these plays that are like
horrible.
They're like the worst sitcom you've ever seen in your life.
A lot of this, I believe, derives from the city of Atlanta.
They're probably
does it come out of
most black stuff comes from Atlanta. You'll realize that.
You're going to hell.
Well, it is the font for well, which all
like,
black.
You mean like
are
crime? What do you mean,
well,
Joel? No,
well, think about it. Where's what color is Coca-Cola?
Black.
Where does it come from? Atlanta. Thank you very much, Atlanta. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, stop
I will
now.
Be. This is, my, this is my doctoral thesis.
Head of
Joel,
the debate team.
Joel,
in,
you know damn well black people don't drink Coke. They drink grape soda.
Or orange.
Orange stuff. Yeah. Mountain Dew Live Wire.
Gin and juice.
Yeah.
Black people in Atlanta, though.
That's right. Coke is only something you put in your rum. Let's keep that straight.
Black people live in Atlanta. Like it's like a
pound it.
It's like okay. The, it's like the Israel.
We gotta have Chill back on to clear up our David Duke sounding asses.
But if you've gone to Atlanta, it is like the Holy Land for brothers. It is like the Israel. It's like all blacks must go there and live.
I thought that was Africa.
No. It's Atlanta. No. It's Atlanta. Trust me. Because black guys, I talked to a black. What black guy were we talking to? Was it who was that?
Kool-Aid.
I was talking to a black guy who went to Africa. And he was like, yeah, I went to Africa, and they hated us, and we left.
That's the whole
story? It was
story?
Some comic.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
I hate Atlanta, that fucking beltway that goes around Washington, D.C. I hate that fucking thing.
You know, oddly enough, Amy went to Kenya on, like, a school thing.
Your girlfriend, Amy?
Yeah. And another girl I dated went
is
to Kenya.
Is she black?
So I have this thing for white women that go to Kenya, and, like, I don't understand it.
No, his girlfriend is not black, but...
No.
She has a big booty, though.
Has she ever been with a black
man?
You
know, now I'm in trouble. I don't have a robo Amy
really?
Button.
You can send a white girl with a big ass to Kenya and she comes back in one piece?
That's unbelievable.
That's amazing.
With a sore ass. Mm.
I would think that.
Now
that's funny.
Oh,
that's why you're here today.
Oh,
buddy.
For God's sakes.
That's why Johnny's here. He's not just a pretty face. He's funny. Sure. Oh, brother.
You are. Go see John's show. He really is
go
a funny...
Go see John's show. He's got lots of I'm crazy, wild
tremendous, high-energy comedian.
High energy.
I'm like Seinfeld, only clean.
And not so Jewy.
Not so Jewy.
Yeah. Yeah, did I give you my advice for your 25th show? Keep the house lights low, stage lights bright.
What's that?
Keep the house lights low and the stage lights bright.
Oh, thank you.
You know why that is?
Why is that?
If people decide to leave, you won't have to watch them walk
fuck
out the
you,
door.
Man.
No,
fuck
and
you,
I shit you not. And that's a legitimate piece of advice.
You think people are going
to
leave?
I don't know, but you don't want to be seeing them if they do. That's my point.
You know what? If they do, I'll talk to them. That's kind of my style. We'll be chatting.
And that'll be on a CD that you can get.
Hey, where the hell are you going? Come back here. You son of a bitch, you goddamn bastard.
All lesbians to the bathroom, because we haven't heard that enough, have we?
Yeah,
you know, Joel. That's what we'll have. That's what we'll do.
What's that?
We'll have Rob record stock comedy punchlines.
You think so? They think that's what we should have our announcer Rob do.
Yep.
You're sweating like a faggot eating a corn dog.
You people are the worst drivers.
Do I come down to your job and slap the cock out of your mouth?
Okay, don't give it away. We're gonna go.
All right, there we go.
Whenever we get
Rob back in here,
our new hot buttons for our announcer.
You're done with ideas now. If you're doing this at 60,
one of our insane super fans actually figured it out. He looked at his iTunes cachet. His cash.
Oh, yeah.
And he figured out that we'd done 3 days and 9 hours something of
shows in now.
Actually, only 45 minutes, so if you take out the talking about old TV shows.
right. I think the totality of...
That also included all of our bonus features.
Everything we've recorded is equals 3 days.
List, so in a year... Starting next week, we will have recorded the better part of 3.5 days.
Put it to you this way.
I think,
actual material.
I think we should take a weekend off, all trip on acid, and listen to every fucking minute in a row. Get every comic we know
what I'm
over
saying
here.
Is you could drive from Chicago to California and never have to turn us off.
Right, yeah. I mean, you could literally play it forever.
You could stop and listen to the fake laughter on the Bob and Tom show somewhere along the way, though, if you want to.
Don't get me started.
Hey, Larry the Cable Guy is in the studio. Hey, Larry. Larry's going to fart into a tin bucket. What do you think? Whoa, hi, hey, ho.
Fucking hey.
Bob and Tom.
I'll tell you what, though, man. To some guys, that is the golden goose, though, that Bob and Tom show, man. Because what happens is, comics come on. And then when they're playing the Midwest, they're playing all these toilet bowl towns where you go and no one's going to show up. All the Bob and Tom rednecks show up. They bring a stack of CDs. They sell out all weekend.
Sell your shit.
And they sell a guy there's this guy named Sean Morey. I don't know the guy. I don't know him. Never met him. Guy's got 8 CDs. I swear to God. And he goes and he sells out. Mm-hmm. He sells out all of them all weekend. He'll sell. I was working with this guy that was sort of a redneck comic recently, and it was one of those shows. The show we had 12 people. He sold $100 worth of shit. Because people knew who he was, and they were like, okay, we'll buy this stuff.
That's two tanks of gas. Right?
Yeah, and it's so really, that's why people won't dump on Bob and Tom, except for guys like us who aren't on it.
Who don't care.
Because it's like, you go to the Midwest, and you deal with those guys. Well, see, we would like to be that show, I guess, in our own way, right?
Sure.
Guys in civilization have never heard of Bob and Tom.
Right. If you live in a town with any sort of population or any sort of talented morning show, you've never... Or if you were in a Howard Stern market, Bob and Tom.
If you're in a top 10 market, you're not going to hear
You're probably
Bob
not
Tom.
Battle Creek gets Bob and Tom.
Yeah, literally, Flint has Bob and Tom, but Detroit doesn't.
Right.
Sure.
Saginaw Bay City will have Bob and Tom. Toledo will have Bob and Tom.
No major markets have.
Detroit, can't. They were on in Detroit for a while. I think they're off now.
Is that like a B cities, B clubs kind of thing? C clubs?
Exactly.
It's B and C towns, but you can make a lot of money.
Or Shetland Circuit of Radio.
There was a guy that I know who told me, a comic I was working with, a southern guy, said that Bob and Tom paid for his house. He bought a house with the money that he made from being promoted in Bob and Tom.
It couldn't be a nice house, but
according to him, it was. But
it's the same guy I'm thinking of.
That's kudos and good for
them.
But
you know what
that's
the secret to the Bob and this is why I hate Bob and Tom personally, is their format is you put out a CD or whatever you produce yourself as a comedian, and we play it. And that becomes the show. In other words, they do nothing except for they're the conduit between the comics and the audience.
Yeah, they're
so they become sort of a gateway. They kind of become like Johnny Carson, where it's like, oh, you guys can get on. Like, you remember how Johnny was in the 80s?
Right.
If Johnny had Johnny made you star. Now, if Johnny didn't want to have you on, you were fucked.
Right.
Because that was the only way to become a star. They want to become that.
Right.
Where, Johnny himself does almost nothing, but yet he has this doorway to all this full audience. That's how Bob and Tom works. And it's bullshit.
Why do I love Johnny, though, and... These guys, I couldn't.
There's reasons to love Johnny. Johnny was good at what he did. Bob and Tom just kind of sit there let guys plug.
Johnny. Do you know they're also click and clack on NPR? Did you know that?
No, they're not click and clack. Those guys are. I actually
Don't
enjoy those.
Leave
guys.
The Tappet Brothers alone.
Yeah, I enjoy the.
I love the Tappet Brothers because if you haven't heard this show, the click and clack, the car talk, these guys will go. Kyle Combe go. Yeah, I got a 1987 Nissan Pathfinder. It's rattling in a... Oh, okay, stop right there. What it is that the fuel injector is misfire.
Like, that would be the other guy. No, yeah. I go, ooh, I got it. I got it. What about...
What do you think it is?
What if it was...
They make the noise? Ever have them make the noise?
And then they're like, yeah, no, yeah, let me think. Could it be... I'm going to take a guess here. The water pump.
Yeah.
Ooh, and they're all like, oh, I think
the water pump. Oh, the water pump.
Yeah, it's really, there's these moisture, thick Boston accents.
There's moisture in the fuel injector that's beating up. And you're like, the guy will give him one
this
bit of information.
Very important. Right. Yeah. What color is the car?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you park your car under a tree?
Yeah.
I believe there's a squirrel
in
your catalytic converter.
Joel's it's rubbing his
what
chin.
It is, there's maple sap in your fan belt.
It literally is. It seriously is a very funny show.
It is a good show, but the people who call up always have like the hooptiest cars. They're like, they're still running. I'm running my 1986 Volvo.
I remember there was
into
a guy
the ground.
With my members only.
There was a
jacket.
Story I read of a. I remember a guy called in and he said that he had his a wheel that was making noise, yeah. And he couldn't diagnose it because you can't hear it unless the car is running. So he had his buddy jump in the car. This guy grabbed his skateboard and held on to the rear fender, and they drove along to diagnose what the rear wheel problem is.
And they nailed it, didn't they?
Yeah, and they figured it out, but it's all these jank. But here's the thing. If you're on a TV show and a guy goes, hey, my car's not running, you can go, well, of course not, because your spark plug's not firing. You hang up. Then that idiot's still under the hood for 13 hours, busting up his knuckles, taking out the spark plugs. They don't need it, and they don't really give a fuck if it's fixed or not. Right. You know what I mean?
It's good radio.
We should do that, Corey. People should write in.
It's Abbott Brothers, Click and Clack.
And they'll ask us, say, what's wrong with my computer? And we'll tell them.
Wow.
And if it's not right, who gives a fuck?
You never
because
this,
we'll never respond to it anyway.
That's a good point.
That's a great premise for a show.
There is no accountability
for
that.
Jot it down.
It's better than Bob and Tom.
Let me tell you. Oh, I'm farting. Oh, look at that. That is a...
Oh, man.
If you think this show's racist, folks, I want to go out of my way to point something out.
What?
I hate white people almost as much.
I actually have more white people that I hate than I do black people.
I really do. Yeah. I find black culture humorous. Mm-hmm. I find white people horrifying.
Oh, Indians, too. Don't like them.
Yeah, John is not a big fan. Can I tell this story before we go?
I just hate fucking curry.
We got to go, John. We got to go. I got to tell this story.
I'm glad that the South Asian continent has not been left out.
John, I was at the show, and I have this roommate, Christina. She's been here. Nice gal, the whole thing. Her mom and her friend of hers, who is an Indian gentleman, were coming to the show.
Wait, hold on.
And I knew that. I got to...
Dots, not feathers. Let's clear that.
Dots, Indian guy. Indian guy. East Asian Indian. Yes. Okay. So the guy, they're coming to the show, and I know this, and I go, okay, I'll be there. I think my girlfriend, Kim, was performing on that show.
She was.
It was an open mic deal. John was going to be there. So they come, and they get a good seat close enough to the front. Kim performs in front of them, and they had met Kim, so they were all enamored with it. John comes out, you know, not knowing anything, and not that it would have made a difference, goes right up to goes into some terrorist bit, looks at the Indian guys, and says something to the effect of, look, I don't know if you're one of those. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to do one of these terrorist jokes. All right, buddy? I don't. What did you.
No one.
He said his name was Abu or whatever the hell his name is. Yeah. And I said.
His name was Sanji or something.
Whatever it is. Yeah. And I said, sorry, it can't be. I practiced this joke 1,000 times. Your name is fucking Bill. You're now Bill.
But look, just for the record, no one from Mumbai was involved in the 9/11 hijacking.
Do you remember when I moved the black folks up from the third row to the front because Rosa said it was cool.
I will say this. Indian people, I love them, but they have committed terrorism in my toilet after I've had some chicken tikka masala.
That's
I will
right.
say that.
Well, I don't eat
I
that
do stuff. Love Indian food.
But John, John will get in your face. He will call people terrorists to their face. He will talk about black people. Right in their face, has no fear whatsoever. So
that's why I'm working the Saginaw Moose.
And that's
week.
Why you got to go see John. March
Moose
25th.
Lodge.
Baldwin Theater, downtown. Yeah.
Why are we even plugging these gigs? God.
Well, this is a real gig. I have to give John credit.
It's a real gig.
John put together this gig. It's at the Baldwin Theater, March 25th. For tickets, it's 248-541-6430. John Tortolot and friends, Jason Bensey, Bill Bouchard. Going to be a good show.
There you go.
And you got to go to that.
And then at the Moose Lodge, John will be hanging out by the caroms table,
right.
signing biker women's tits.
I'm working with Fielding Fowler. Do you know that guy?
No.
And Jason, and Jason's brother, Eric St. James, who's actually come a long way. I work with him New Year's Eve.
Okay.
He's come a long way, baby.
He's come a long way.
Hey, they work me. I can only
when
be
you
nice.
Start low, you can only you can work a long
you can only
way.
Go up.
You can work a long way to be mediocre. But you know, folks,
you know, and folks, I just want as we finish up the show to remember the late great Peter Tamarkin, who died in a
Corey,
plane crash.
I had to shout that the guy from Pressure Luck died in a small plane.
Apparently,
accident.
The whammies finally got
and
him.
That's even too dorky for us.
Yeah,
great show.
It was a great show.
Do you remember the really documentary about the guy who fixed Pressure
yeah,
Luck?
Yeah, that's great. That's on GSN. Oh. The guy who fixed Pressure
Well,
well, I guess that's about it, folks.
Seacrest out.
One more time for John Tortorella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget, March 18th in Maryville. Me and Pam from Yellowknife will be there hanging out.
Corey's
and,
going to Bay City.
Corey's going to Bay City. And we'll all see you March 23rd at Club Bart for the one-year anniversary,
yeah,
people.
Live. Bring your weaves.
Bring your white women.